Good evening and welcome to Radio Edu Talk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay in Fife, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening Eileen Hopkins and Professor Janet Clinton, and we're going to be talking about an excellent educational resource, CPD resource called Visible Classroom. Good evening, Eileen and Janet.
Good evening. Hello.
And to start off with, if you could just take turn about, maybe start with Eileen. Could you give me a kind of brief background to your work, and including your work in education?
Okay, well, I spent most of my working life working in autism with students, children and adults with autism, most of the years with the National Autistic Society in the UK. And then after that, I undertook autism consultancy, and one of my consultancies was with AI Media, which is an Australian captioning company who developed Visible Classroom. One of their technologies they thought possibly could help students with autism, so I came to the organisation as their autism consultant to help them develop the technology for that group of people. And subsequently to that, I've become Executive Director of AI Media in the UK, working closely with my colleague here, Professor Janet Clinton.
And I'm the Director of the Centre for Programming Evaluation and Teacher Education Effectiveness at the University of Melbourne, and have been a teacher and a researcher in the area of education for way too many years to mention.
Not quite as many as me, but almost.
Okay, and I'll just say at this point, we'll be on air for the next 20 minutes or so, and if you've got a question or a comment, if you're listening to the live show, for our guests this evening, Eileen Hopkins and Professor Janet Clinton, you can get in touch in two ways. You can email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or if you're on Twitter, you can pop something up and include the hashtag EduTalk, and they'll be able to put your comments or questions to Eileen and Janet during the show. So we'll just get straight into it then. Could you give us a kind of pitch as to what Visible Classrooms is, and where the kind of idea has developed from?
So Visible Classroom developed in the last couple of years as a consequence of our partnership between the University of Melbourne and AI Media. And if you imagine that this technology allows the classroom discussion to be made visible to teachers and students, the teachers talk and student talk is recorded, transcribed, and within a small amount of time, 5 to 7 seconds, is transported back to students and teachers' iPads, screens, computers, so that whatever the teacher says, the student can actually see again within a 5 second period. At the end of the lesson, the teacher has access to a whole transcript of that lesson that includes a dashboard that relates to instructional practice by the teacher. So, and it will provide the teacher with information about the amount of talk during that period by the teacher and by the student, the kinds of questions asked by student and teacher, the time that the teacher spoke, and the level of language. Most exciting thing is students are able to provide feedback on the learning experience to the teacher at the end of the lesson. So the Visible Classroom provides a real-time transcript of the whole classroom discourse, as well as teaching analytics. So it allows the teacher to see what they taught, and the student, it provides a second chance at the teacher's voice. So our view is that it's really an exciting educational tool that allows teachers and students to really engage in the teaching and learning loop.
So it works on two levels then. It's about teachers, I suppose, either asking for the tool for a professional development purpose or even just kind of going with the tool themselves, seeing a kind of need to improve reflection. But also it's about, I suppose, ultimately improving students' engagement and, I suppose, attainment.
Absolutely. So if you imagine, this is one tool that has multiple purposes. So for the teacher, it provides something that's very concrete about their teaching. And what we've able to demonstrate from the trials and work that we've been involved in through our research is that once teachers actually see how they are teaching, for example, if they have spoken for 80% of the time in one lesson, then during the next lesson, they will speak less. So it makes teacher reflection very concrete. And with the feedback that we provide during the initial phase where they get their dashboard, and then University of Melbourne, after 5 hours of captioning, provides a deep profile of instructional practice for that teacher, with the view that this is how you're teaching now. If you are interested in changing your practice, these are the kinds of things that you can do. So from a teaching perspective, it's professional development. It allows for a concrete reflection of practice and provides the teacher with some tips for moving forward. From a student perspective, if the student has a chance to look at literally what the teacher is saying, to scroll back and see instructions, the teacher could actually provide the transcript to the student. Most importantly, the student has a chance to comment on their learning experience by simply answering a number of questions about what they felt about that learning experience. And what we've been able to demonstrate is that both students and teachers improve the teaching practice, and students have a greater opportunity to learn as a consequence of this tool.
I think one of the interesting aspects about it, David, is the fact that there's no one in the classroom observing your lesson. There's no one at the back with a clipboard making a subjective judgment or a close observance. The teacher merely wears the lanyard from an iPhone around their neck, connected to an iPhone, and their teacher talk goes down the line, is re-spoken by our re-speakers and comes back, as Janet said, within about 5 seconds. So it means that teachers truly can take the benefit of self-reflection in their own time. The feedback that they get from the University of Melbourne is built on a rubric of 19 items. So all aspects of teacher talk is analysed, and it is quite surprising. I mean, I think the first reaction that most teachers have is, oh, Do I really talk as much as that? One teacher in the trial that we ran with a year asked about 200 questions in one lesson. It's a tool that allows teachers to manage their professional development themselves, and I think that's the really interesting aspect from a teacher's point of view.
And I think if you imagine that we're actually putting the power to change in the hands of the teacher. So it's actually quite empowering from a self-reflection point of view. From a student point of view, if you're a student that has some vulnerability in terms of education, and it could be that your English is a second language, it could be that you have some hearing impairment, the tool itself will then provide you with access to all the conversation in the classroom. It's something that you can look at, that you can reflect on, and scroll back. So it's kind of one piece of technology that is supporting both professional development of teachers, supporting learning for students, but also allowing teachers to reflect and evaluate on their practice. It also gives students access to the verbatim transcript. So in most other situations, a student may have an interpreter. If they're deaf, they may have a BSL interpreter, or if you're in Australia, an Auslan interpreter, or they may have a note taker. So a third party is interpreting the content of the lesson. With this technology, the student has access to the complete words of the teacher, so their disadvantage is reduced because there is not a third party involved.
And I'm wondering how this has actually been used then within schools in terms of teachers' professional development. You know, is there examples, for instance, of where management have used it where there's possibly a competency issue with a teacher, or again, is it teachers actually taking the kind of power into their own hands, either individually or within teacher learning communities?
So the most important thing, as we said before, that every teacher is the champion of their own learning in this case, as is the student. So in the work that we've been doing in Australia and the UK, the teacher has total control of their transcript. And what we've found that makes the difference in terms of increasing or enhancing instructional practice, if the teacher can form a learning community, a collaborative work with a coach, and they are able to actually take their transcript, their dashboard, and have a professional dialogue about the instructional practice, then the practice is much more inclined to be very successful and enhance practice in the classroom. Working with senior leadership teams in schools, what we found is that if you have engaged senior leadership teams that are quite happy for the teachers to have the power to reflect on their practice and have a professional dialogue with them about how things are going, what they would like to do, that it actually enhances the teaching and learning experience.
Now, the many listeners to Radio EduTalk will have read, digested John Hattie's Visible Learning for Teachers, and as I understand it, the Hattie's work kind of relates somewhat to the work that you're doing. Can you just explain in what ways it's related?
So one of the things that we know about educational reforms is that you need a strong pedagogy underpinning whatever you're trying to do. So John's work has demonstrated very strongly that one of the key factors to bring about change and enhance educational attainment is feedback. And it isn't necessarily feedback for students, it's feedback for the teachers. So the teachers need to think of themselves as evaluators. Visible Learning and Visible Learning Plus quite clearly demonstrate that providing teachers with clear feedback about their instructional practice and relating that to how the students are actually going will bring about change. Visible Learning utilises John Bigg's solo taxonomy, which focuses on deep and surface processing and teaching and learning. So while Visible Classroom could actually support many pedagogies, we at the University of Melbourne and within AI have taken the view that feedback is critical, and John's work has demonstrated that feedback is the most single powerful tool for increasing student attainment. So we've utilise much of his work in our evidence-based rubric to code teacher practice and provide an explanation to teachers about the pedagogy underpinning visible classrooms.
I'd just like to hear a little bit more about the how the technology works. And for example, when I was kind of preparing for this evening, you know, I think it's on the website, kind of mentions that the dashboard or the technology behind this system, you know, can actually differentiate at some stage between teachers referring to the kind of abstract learning versus real world context, and also some kind of ability to differentiate between the types of questions that the teacher's deploying. Can you just say a bit more about how that actually works in practice?
Yeah. So if you imagine that as our re-speakers are going through the transcript, they're able to actually code various classrooms, various questions. So, for example, we can determine whether a question is substantive or procedural. That's quite an easy one. 90% of the questions that are asked by teachers are simply procedural, yes or no. Very rarely do our teachers ask very substantive questions of students and probing into deep thinking. So we're able to, on three levels, code for the type of question that's asked, and that's a human being actually coding the frequency. We then use text mining tools to look for the phrases, the particular verbs that demonstrate the difference between deep and surface processing. And there is an overlay of programs that timestamp the transcript, so you can actually see the number of questions that are being asked in a particular time. So when you pull the programming, the actual coding by both our re-speakers and the researchers at the University of Melbourne, plus text mining tools, you bring those together, it means that we can do a really deep dive into the conversations within the classroom. And that allows us to provide very concrete, solid information about the teaching and learning process back to the teachers.
And just sticking with the technology for a moment, would most teachers or many teachers be therefore kind of creating a bank of input or a bank of lessons then that would sit on, for example, a young person's iPad in the school? And kind of following on from that, is it always a case that the young people would have to have some kind of tablet device or laptop for this to really kind of work in a sort of feedback loop? Or are there some examples of where teachers just use it for themselves?
So you've got a couple of options. So if it's, you obviously need the internet and a tablet or a computer or a smartphone to have instantaneous access to students. So we have examples where all a classroom, every student has a tablet. We have an example where the teacher chooses to project the transcript through a projector onto the wall, so simple data show. And then the other option, which is being used a little bit at the moment in the US, is offline, where the teachers are simply using it for themselves so they can use it for professional development and for critical reflection. And in that case, the teachers are simply still recording using their phones and lanyards, and they simply upload the file, the audio file, to the AI Live website. And when it's offline, within 6 hours, it's coded, translated, and sent straight back to them. So there's many options. We are in a situation where some schools, classrooms are still not comfortable with the use of smartphones, tablets for students or themselves. And I think that's just a slower journey.
It's an evolution. I think in the EEF trial that we conducted last year, all of those situations were present. In some schools, students had access to tablets, not necessarily iPads, but tablets. In some schools, it's transmitted via a whiteboard, so the whole of the class is seeing it. And as Janet said, the latest evolution is that teachers can upload 5 hours of lessons to be coded and get feedback from those 5 hours.
And we're just coming towards the end of tonight's show. I'll just remind listeners that you can, you've still got a couple of minutes to get in touch by email or via Twitter if you've got any questions for Janet or Eileen. Just before I ask, you know where the technology is going, as we look into the future, maybe hear a bit about how the research is going alongside these developments. I just wonder if. You could just kind of recap about why you think teachers should find out more about this service and sign up. I mean, I know it's always a journey, professional development's always a journey, but I'm tempted to kind of say, well, why don't you just tell all teachers, you know, slow down, stop asking so many procedural questions. You know, what's the real added value about, buying into this kind of service?
So from my perspective, I think as Eileen said before, this provides a rigorous, absolute reflection tool for teachers, and it's in their hands. You can't, if you say to a teacher, can you slow down in your talking speed? They might perceive that they are slowing down, but in actual fact, it's not always the case. So by, you know, number one, providing this very concrete view, what we've been able to demonstrate, and it's quite phenomenal change that teachers make in a short period of time. So teaching, you know, many teachers have so many things going on that simply being able to reflect or have a professional dialogue allows them to make change. We found from our educational endowment trial is that within a period of 6 weeks, teachers were able to make phenomenal change in their instructional practice. And students were much more engaged in the process when they had a second chance at learning. So that, I think that's number one. I think putting the power to bring about change as opposed to our traditional professional development programs where teachers go out of the classroom, they have a nice day, they think about it, but then they come back to the realities of a very intense school day. This technology is totally embedded in their classroom. It doesn't take away, there isn't anybody there judging them. They have the opportunity to judge themselves and reflect. So from our perspective, our research is demonstrating quite considerable change. I think the other aspect that's really significant about this project, given that we now have thousands and thousands of hours of transcripts of lessons, we can actually tell you what's going on in many classrooms. And that allows us to understand pedagogical change much more than we ever have before.
That's fascinating. And I'm just wondering, I know a lot of people in community learning and development in Scotland, and I do a little bit of football coaching as well. I'm just wondering, on the face of it, this kind of technology and this approach to developing professionals and, I suppose, volunteers work, could actually jump to, you know, other areas, maybe even people working in nurseries. Is that something that's that might come later on?
Well, the technology is already used, David, to support people in the workplace. So hearing impaired people get support in the workplace using exactly the same technology. That's usually funded by Access to Work, so it's free at the point of contact for the user. It's used in universities for disabled students, hearing impaired students, and now some students with autism. That's funded by Disabled Students Allowance, we've got it. The technology is already being used in many, many different areas. And if you think of where the technology began, which is captioning for film and television in Australia, you can see that the interests and the application for wider group in wider settings is always at the forefront of what we're trying to do.
And one of the things that's happening at the University of Melbourne is we're actually looking at the education of general practitioners in medicine and grand rounds for students in medicine. One of the things that you might be interested in is we've actually... working with Jim Knight, who is an educator, but who's a life coach as well. So my family is very much into coaching, and we have suggested that we could actually use the tool to train coaches in the sporting arena. Not necessarily cricket in Australia at the moment.
And some people might say they need it.
Now, just before you go, if people want to find out more information, or if they'd like to actually possibly discuss their own or their school's requirements, what kind of direction could you point them?
They should go to the AI Media website, so aimedia.tv, aimedia.com/media.com/TV.
And of course, they can find me, Janet Clinton, at the University of Melbourne. And it's simply a matter of going onto the University of Melbourne website, typing in my name, and my contact details will come up.
Eileen and Janet, thank you so much for taking time out this evening. I know I'm sure you've got a busy evening ahead of you. I understand you're at a BIRA event. And hope to speak to you again in the future. Best wishes.
Thank you.